Wayne Wang's new film Slam Dance is a stylized thriller centered around the Los Angeles art and club scenes. The film is a departure for the Asian-American director whose other features, Chan Is Missing and Dim Sum, were set in the Asian community of San Francisco. Slam Dance was written by my guest, Don Opper. Opper is also an actor and appears in the film as a tormented thug named Buddy. He co-stars with Tom Hulce, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, and rock musicians Adam Ant and John Doe. The script is filled with twists and turns, but here's how Opper describes the basic story.
Slam Dance is about a underground artist or underground cartoonist who gets involved in a murder. He's a man that's separated from his wife. He had a relationship with a woman, and it's the story's about unraveling the mystery of who killed her and why.
Is this on some level based on any problems you were having at the time you wrote it?
I wouldn't say in the particulars, but I think in thematically, I think it dealt with some things that were personal, yeah.
Do you want to say what, or would you rather not?
I think, you know, a lot of people have marital problems, a lot of people have affairs, and I don't think, usually in real life, we don't have the convenient murder or to get us out of it. So I would say, you know, in thematically it has to do with a guy taking responsibility for what he does. I think that's a personal thing. But certainly I wasn't involved in a murder. I wasn't a suspect in a murder.
In the ads for Slam Dance, the ad copy makes a point of saying that this is not a film about dancing. Do you want to describe what slam dancing is and why you gave the film that title?
Slam dancing was, I think, the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, was a kind of dancing. It was a punk dancing that people ran into each other and tried to knock each other down, and it was kind of organized chaos. And the reason I used it is the title of the movie was, if you are on the dance floor, you're going to get knocked down, whether you know what's going on. If you don't know, for instance, if you don't know what's going on, you walk in the middle of the dance floor, you're going to get knocked down. So I thought that was a pretty good metaphor for what happens to the central character of the script.
You're one of the co-stars in the film. You play a kind of existential bad guy.
Yeah.
Real offbeat bad guy. Did you write that role with yourself in mind?
No, I didn't. I actually, the role I wrote with myself in mind was Drood.
The lead character.
Buddy was my favorite character in the script. And I didn't have any intention of playing it. It was written for a much bigger person, more classic thug-like person. I don't remember exactly at what point we decided it was decided I was going to do it, but it was fairly close to the time we started filming.
You said you initially envisioned the thug that you play as a bigger, more muscular guy than you are. You're kind of medium height, pretty slender. Mm-hmm. What did you do to yourself to get more of a toughened image?
Well, I didn't do too much. I gained 10 pounds, which was a tremendous struggle. I changed a little bit of my look by wearing a hairpiece.
That's a hairpiece, huh?
Well, part of it is, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Part of it is me. I changed my hair color. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who can all of a sudden look 6 feet two and weigh 260 pounds, so it was a matter of adjusting. There was a little bit of adjusting in the script to make me a little bit more menacing script-wise, because my immediate physical presence might not have carried that. So we adjusted the script a little bit to carry that a little more.
Are there any difficulties involved with acting in your own screenplay? I'm thinking, for instance, maybe there's this constant temptation to rewrite each scene as you're acting in it.
No, it's two different functions. You write a film, and then if you've given the film over to a director, the director's in charge. And then as an actor, every actor has a tendency to try to rewrite anything, to try to get the words out of his mouth in a better way. Those are the best reasons. Some actors have have bad reasons to change dialogue. They don't want to say certain words, or they don't think it makes them look good. But any actor has a tendency to try to collaborate with the director and the writer, if possible, and work on a scene. Happily for me, it's two separate functions. And basically, I become an actor 2 weeks before a film starts. And when I'm in a scene, it's between me and the director, and I'm at his mercy, basically.
Did you go to film school?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to any school.
Is it hard to break in when you haven't gone to film school?
I don't know. That's like a relative question. I don't know if it's any harder to break in if you've gone to film school or not. I started working in the industry just to make money, not as a writer. I started as a grip, and then I became a carpenter, and I've done just about all the crafts. I've worked in various capacities on films for Roger Corman. So I've been a driver, I've been a production assistant, I've been assistant director on one of his films. So my coming into it was from a very strange kind of, I came from the bottom. And I always liked it. I sort of liked working that way.
Working with Roger Corman, you probably learned how to make movies fast and cheap.
We learned a certain method. There's a certain method a lot of people, I think if I went to school, that was the school I went to. You know, I think it's better than going to film school, is to work. And I've felt that way just about anything I've done. So it's a great place to learn.
Which of his movies did you work on?
The first movie I worked on for him was Battle Beyond the Stars.
Did John Sayles write that one?
I don't remember. I mean, it was like, I always liken that experience to being in Vietnam.
How was it like being in Vietnam?
It was hell. It was hell.
In what way?
Oh, God. He had just moved into a studio in Venice, and the place flooded during the course of... It was like slogging through hell to be on that film. Incredibly long hours, and the place was flooded, and you know, you were walking in knee-deep water, and it was just horrible. It was I don't know how to explain it. It was just like a horrible experience, except that I stuck with it, and I learned a lot, met a lot of people, and had a good time. As a matter of fact,
I guess that's what you call paying your dues.
Well, I'm still paying dues. You never get there. You always think that you've made it, and then the next thing is, no, I've got to do something else. So,
well, you know, it's a funny thing. I really liked your movie very much, but I've noticed it just closed in Philadelphia, and it wasn't here all that long. What are some of the problems that you have with a movie like Slam Dance getting it screened around the country?
Well, the movie has some problems as far as being a commercial movie. I think it's an interesting movie. To get a movie like... I think that... I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this is. This is a tough question. It's got to be marketed correctly. I don't know if that's going to change anything. I think that has to... You know, it has to come out at the right time. Slam Dance came out at a time when there were a lot of films sort of about similar... in the same area. I don't know if you... You know, No Way Out. A Fatal Attraction... You know what I'm saying? So, sort of noirish kind of looks at the world. Slam Dance looks different than any of those, but I don't know. It's a mystery. Anybody who can say how to market a movie and this will be a certain success is lying, I think.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Don Opper wrote and co-stars in the new film Slam Dance. He spoke to us from the NPR studios in Los Angeles.